rebound collected by the Rain Man. Settles out ahead to Payton. Leans over to dribble. Hopping and popping up the center of the floor. Jab step by Eos. Over into the lane with a lefty to the
yeah.
Up and in. He took it alone and laid it home. Gary Payton with a crossover dash to the rack. Outside it comes to Gary. Lob, the low lob pass. Kemp. Oh, I got it.
Lob.
He slings down a thunder block with a right hand. Sean Kemp over the Illustrated Man. A Herculean royal flush by the Kemper.
Hey, thank you again for downloading part two of the first episode of the Magic Carpet Ride, Seattle Supersonics podcast, and the official podcast of SB Nation's newest site, SonicsRising.com. Again, we have Kevin Nusgoda, senior editor from SonicsRising.com, and Chris Myrose, another editor from SonicsRising.com. And we're going to be talking about the NBA draft. We're going to be talking about the upcoming NBA playoff pictures. So sit back, relax, and let's do this.
Okay, we're hoping to have a team in the next, hopefully the near future. And if and when or whatever that happens, we're looking at a draft. Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the draft prospects that are possibly could be considered? If there was, you know, I think in every draft class, David Locke breaks down it great. And one thing that he always says about the draft is most of these guys don't pan out. Even guys in the lottery, I think he has some great numbers that really there's only one or two, franchise players, if you're lucky. There's only probably about three or four starters out of the lottery, and then the rest are either role players or they just don't pan out. And so really, you're only talking about, even in the lottery, of the 14 guys, you're talking about maybe, 10 that are actually going to be solid, legit NBA players. So if there's one guy that you're like, well, no, this guy's the superstar, this guy's the guy that's going to pan out, who do you think it is?
Just because I've been beating this drum since November, Trey Burke, I think, is the only real guy that you could bank on. Everybody else has huge holes in their game. I mean, you look at Trey Burke, he doesn't have to score points for the team to be good. He's a great leader. He's the best floor general I've seen in college since Chris Paul, and that would probably be his closest comparison to a current NBA player. He has a great outside shot. His passing is really good. One of the little holes in his game is he doesn't handle the press very well, but he can get out of it, and he does pass well out of it. But outside of that, I mean, you look at Nerlens Noel, and you got a 7-foot, 208. They say he's 230. He's 215, if that. And he's going to play center in the NBA. He can't score outside of 5 feet, and that's going to be your number one pick. I'm sorry. That doesn't work for me. Marcus Smart has no leadership ability. He's very immature. He's going to be probably a poor man's Russell Westbrook, but, you know, score half the points, have half the assists, maybe a little bit better defender. Ben McLemore has a good shot at being a really good scorer, but again, he doesn't know, you know, he's one of those guys that even if you show him the definition of defense in the dictionary, he still won't get it.
Okay, but what about Anthony Bennett, the Canadian? Show some love for my homeland here.
I actually do like Bennett. I think he probably will be a top 10 pick, and I don't think he's going to be a franchise player. There's no franchise players in this draft. This is going to probably be one of the four or five worst drafts ever, so there's nothing to be excited about. just throwing it out there. It sucks,
wow.
But, you know, that's the truth. But Anthony Bennett, yeah, I could see him, you know, being kind of a hybrid four a little bit, you know, one of those ones who can bang down low, but can also step out and hit the jumper occasionally.
Chris, what are you thinking? Who do you like? Actually, first, let me ask you, do you agree this is going to be one of the worst drafts?
Yeah, you know, it certainly on the surface appears at this point to be lacking in superstar caliber players. But you just never know. I mean, you get some guy who comes out of nowhere all the time, and nearly every group, there's somebody who just kind of out of the blue blossoms in the NBA where they'd been maybe in a bad system or just hadn't come into their own physically or whatever. Because especially with some of these guys like Nerlens Noel, here you got a, what, 19-year-old guy, tore up a knee, you know, and all those things. And he's maybe not the best example, but he gets to the NBA. He gets under an NBA weightlifting program, nutrition, and so on and so forth, and starts getting pushed at that caliber. I mean, Kevin Durant was probably one of those guys, although he was clearly at the college level dominant. But, I mean, when he got to the pro level, bam. I mean, he just took it to that next gear that everybody thought he might have, but he clearly did have. So, yeah, it's really hard to say. You know, Noel's one of the guys, I think, if he can recover from this knee injury, will be a solid, you know, player in the NBA. But, again, I agree with Kevin. I don't think the guy is in many other drafts, you know, even top five worthy, let alone number one worthy. But in this draft, you just go, Who do you draft number one? And it's hard in the NBA side of things, as the Sonics proved.
This is one of those drafts that you...
You draft size.
I looked at this draft. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I'm just saying, I think in a draft like this, you just have to draft size, or you have to draft specialty or something. You know, you just say, this might be a niche player, but we need that niche. We need a three-point bomber, so we take this guy from South Dakota State who can shoot the lights out of the gym, but isn't going to be able to guard anybody because, you know, he's just not going to be an NBA caliber defensive player.
And, sorry, but, you know, before I get killed by my alma mater, Alex Len from Maryland, he could eventually develop into a solid big man. I don't think he will, but I don't think his head's completely into the game yet. He's more fit for a European style of a game, but, you know, you look at his game against New Orleans Noel, and he completely dominated him because Noel cannot, you know, defend larger players, and that's what he's going to be asked to do in the NBA.
Hey, speaking of big men, Cody Zeller started the year probably, I mean, at least top five, and now Chad Ford's got him going around the 11th spot now. What happened with him?
I would say Oladipo. Victor just stood out Oladipo. I always pronounce his name wrong.
I do the same. That's weird. I always want to call him Oladipo. Why? That's weird.
I think it's dyslexia.
Yeah.
Just left that D and the P around.
Exactly.
Pretty much the same thing. I think he ended up taking over the team. He ended up being a lot better than people thought. I mean, Oladipo wasn't even a top 150 recruit, and he ended up being the best player on that team, and everybody expected Zeller to be probably the national player of the year, and
yeah,
just didn't live up to those expectations.
Oladipo, I think, since we're talking about him, if there's one sure bet, I mean, not a superstar, but if there's one sure bet where you know that you're what you're going to get, and you can, you know, even almost in year one, he's going to produce, I think it would be him. He reminds me of a Ron Artest type guy, where he can do a little bit of scoring, but kind of a defensive specialist. Minus the mental problems.
Yeah, I think he's actually mentally healthy, which is a good thing. I think he probably is the best perimeter defender in the draft, not named Russ Smith. I think Smith on the ball defense is probably second to none right now in college. I don't know how well that's going to translate to the NBA since he's a little bit on the smaller side. I think he's like 5'9", 5'10". So we'd have to see.
All right, well, I guess last comment just about the NBA is we're heading into the playoffs here in a few... man, it's coming up really fast. Biggest question, I think, or at least one of them, is who's going to be in the eighth spot in the Western Conference? What do you guys think?
Anybody but the Lakers.
You know David Stern's not going to let that happen. You know the officiating is going to be really, really terrible, kind of like the last 4 minutes of the Hornets-Laker game tonight.
Honestly, that seems to be happening every once. Like, one of my buddies sent me this thing on Facebook, just this video of the Lakers' past games in over the past couple weeks, and just the amount of calls that keep going against the Lakers' opponents that are just ridiculous. Like even Chris, do you remember the Rubio three, where Rubio was going to shoot the three and then Kobe fouled him and there was nothing? I mean, that's just one of a ton of. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but my gosh, I'm starting to wonder here.
Yeah, the Rubio one that came out the next day, the NBA themselves even said that was a foul and they screwed that up.
Yeah, just watching Laker games, you just know when Kobe goes you know, somebody breathes on Kobe wrong, it's a foul. And he's going to be shooting God knows how many free throws because of that. It just seems that way. There's no way the NBA won't have the Lakers be the eighth seed. And I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but, you know, the NBA has had a history of, you know, questionable officiating. So
I don't know, man. I'm sorry, Kevin, but I'm going Jazz here. I'm cheering for the Jazz big time.
That's what I prefer. But you know, you said who do you think's going to make it, and because the NBA likes money,
yeah,
it'll be the Lakers.
Okay, one more question for you guys. I mean, I'm not going to ask who's coming out of the East. I'm probably not even going to ask who's going to win the championship. But who's coming out of the West?
Denver.
For real, Denver.
Denver.
Wow.
I don't know, there's something about that team. They can beat anybody. They can match. They're going to force teams to play how they want to play. And they're just so deep and so defensive minded. And I love George Karl so much. I really want that guy to have a championship. I don't know. There's just so many factors right now for Denver. You know, they have nobody believes in us factor, which is huge. They have guys on injury and, you know, Ty Lawson and, Gallinari are both out right now. So that's given, you know, Evan Fournier, or however you pronounce his name, you know, minutes, and he's making the most of them. And, you know, Andre Miller, even though he's 37 years old, he still is so efficient. He's still incredibly efficient. I have to go Denver, and I think they could take the Heat to at least 6 games.
Woo! All right, we got a believer here. Chris, what do you think?
You know, I think Denver's is a good dark horse, although I'm not going to pick them. I think they're probably still 1 year away. I give them another year and they're going to be crazy. So I'll sip that Kool-Aid. I'm not going to drink it all. But, you know, and I think part of the problem is the format and the style of play in the playoffs, you know, is just tough. It is very tough. And for Denver to probably have to go through both San Antonio and Oklahoma City, I just don't know that they can do both. If it was one or the other, depending how things fall, you know, I'd be more likely to go with that being a better possibility. But if you've got to go both places, that's quite the challenge. And so I'm still inclined to think that, I don't know, Oklahoma City is probably my one and Spurs 1A. Kind of deal, and it'll depend, I think, on the Spurs being healthy, where they're at with things, if they can get all their little dings and dents taken care of and not acquire any new problems in the playoffs. They just keep ceasing to amaze. I mean, they just every turn churn out another win, and they just chew you up and spit you out, and it's like, how do these guys keep doing it? It's quite amazing. You know, Tim Duncan has basically revitalized his career in the sense that he's playing considerably less minutes and still at a ridiculous efficiency rate, and is able to dominate in moments when he has to, and they're able to hide him when he doesn't have to dominate. And I don't know, just infinite props to Pop for his ability to keep the wheels in that wagon, because I thought they were, you know, long gone dead years ago, and here they are still just churning away as, you know, one of the best teams in the NBA. It's truly remarkable.
Every year I count them out before the season starts. Okay, this is the year that the Spurs are going to fall. And every year they seem to, at least in the regular season, prove me wrong. And they add guys like Kawhi Leonard in the Thunder game this past week. He lit everybody up. He was incredible. I mean, the Thunder ended up winning the game. But you just looked at it and you're like, oh my gosh, this team, is it possible to say that the Spurs have a bright future? And if you look at some of the, I mean, they're role players, but still, they're very good role players. But then you look in the West too, okay, obviously you got the Spurs, Thunder. I don't want to count out Memphis with their bigs. I don't want to count out the Clippers with Chris Paul. It seems like sometimes he could win a series by himself. But
I'd like to see the Clippers and Denver in the playoffs against each other. I think that would be exciting.
Is there any hope, not hope from us, obviously, but for Laker fans, if they sneak into the eighth seed and get either the Spurs or the Oklahoma City Thunder, could they, I know it sounds weird, but could the Lakers upset those teams? And the reason I say it sounds weird, at the beginning of the year, it was the Lakers. The Lakers were going to the Western Conference Finals. Could they still do that?
They can beat San Antonio, but not Oklahoma City. I think, I don't know. I just have with Ginobili out, the Spurs really just don't have that change of pace player off the bench. who can come in, hit big shots. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, he's kind of grown into that role, but when you're in LA and it's game six and it's, you know, a minute left, does he have the poise to do it? I'm not sure he's quite there yet. I mean, a year or two, I think he probably will be end up being the Spurs' best player behind Tony Parker. I think they can beat San Antonio. I just don't see him beating Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is just going to run him off the court.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think Oklahoma City can just run them out of the building.
Right on.
Well, the officials get involved.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not count those guys out.
The problem with the Lakers is they're dangerous. I mean, you've got Kobe Bryant, who is all universe, like him or not, and I tend not to like him, but that's my own thing. But respect for his game. I mean, the guy can just dominate down the stretch. He can hit any shot. I mean, if there's a guy in the NBA I want taking my last shot, it's Kobe Bryant. And then in playoff basketball, you've got two big guys. I mean, I don't know where Paul Gasol's head is, but he's been there before. He knows how to play playoff basketball. And then you've got, you know, the enigma of Superman, but at any moment, he can dominate a basketball game in the post, except for the last, you know, 8 minutes of the basketball game where you can just hack him. So it's hard to say, you know, you got two big guys, you've got a solid guard, and
then you got Steve Nash. Then you got Steve Nash who can run an offense like nobody.
If it was Steve Nash 8 years ago, all day, but Steve Nash couldn't guard a wet piece of paper stuck to the floor right now.
I mean, yeah, you put him on Russell Westbrook, what's going to happen for a series?
Although you can see that almost about anybody in the league against Russell Westbrook.
Well, that's true. But Tony Parker, I mean, you're talking about the matchups. You put him against either of those guys, and it's just, I can't think, but that's going to go terribly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think, though, the Lakers had Derek Fisher for the longest time. And, I mean, he's okay at defense, but he got lit up by Russell Westbrook in, I guess it was a couple of years ago now, in that series,
too. Yeah, he got completely torched.
Yeah.
All right, again, we want to thank Chris and Kevin for coming on the show, spending some time with us, and appearing on the first ever edition of the Magic Carpet Ride. Again, make sure to always check out the homeland, sonicsrising.com, for all the information you need about the King Sale, about the Seattle Supersonics forums, and various forums just about NBA games happening throughout the week. Again, I'd love to hear from you, especially if you're outside of the Seattle area, outside of the Washington State area. Where are you at? Send me an email. My email address is themagiccarpetridepodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow me, send me a tweet on MCR Podcast. Listen, God bless you guys. Have a good one. And remember, always keep spreading the supersonic love.
Gary Payton. Supersonics.
Chickens in a barnyard.
Supersonics. Supersonic Sam Perkins. Supersonics. Gary Payton. Supersonics. Supersonics. Gary Payton. Supersonics.
Good golly, Miss Bonnie.
Supersonics. 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 Sam Perkins. Denver Shrimp. Supersonics. Supersonics. Gary Payton. Supersonics.
Fry the chickens in a barnyard.
Get on the magic carpet and ride.